Greetings and good afternoon to everybody. It's our wonderful afternoon service, which all of you look forward to every morning, I'm sure. Just opened in here into 2 Samuel 7, which calls Nathan's prophecy. And this is a neat chapter. This contains one of the neatest prophecies, and it kind of ties into what we had this morning. We've been going through Romans, and we've gone through 9, 10, and 11 in Romans, which is Israel in the past, Israel in the future, and Israel in today's world, and Israel in the future. And this comes to a pretty neat prophecy we have here. So let's just read this chapter, and then it ends with the prayer of David, which, you know, prayers of David, I mean, those are usually pretty good, kind of like Psalms, right? Right here in Samuel. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. And the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go and tell thy servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in?" Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time when I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, "Why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and I have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of the wickedness afflict them any more as before. And as since the time that I have commanded thee to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when the days were fulfilled that thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall ever be established forever." According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now maybe let's stop there for a second. There's two black stars in my Bible next to verse 13 and 16. And I could almost guess, having read a few other Bibles, but that means that is a prophecy. I'm just looking through this Bible to see if there are any others. They're kind of hard to come by. Yep, no other stars in the whole book of 2 Samuel. No star. Sorry, I don't know all the tricks of this Bible here. No stars. Oh, there's some more stars if you go to 2 Samuel. But it's pretty rare to have these stars in here, and maybe we should read them again. These are prophetic stars, and it's about Nathan's prophecy. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Wow, That's a pretty amazing prophecy. And it's a tough one to sit here and to look at today. I mean, we look at the house of Israel today, and it looks like, you know, they're having a hard time. And, you know, we look and we know what's going to happen in the future. We know that Jesus Christ is going to come out of this prophecy. I mean, this could be one of the greatest prophecies in the Old Testament. And so that's kind of what we were seeing in Romans a little bit 11, too, is that it's saying the future with Israel is intact. That this prophecy is going to continue and that God's kingdom is going to last forever. So that means the future from now, when we look out into the future and we say, hey, what's going to happen to Israel? Well, I can tell you for one thing's for sure. Their kingdom is going to last forever. So Israel is going to have another kingdom on earth that's going to last forever. And that's pretty prophetic. That actually takes some time for me to sit down and think about that. And sometimes we think about things in terms of politics and countries, and maybe we shouldn't think about them that way. We just need to think about... often I think of God's Word, you know, God, the institution of the church, is a completely separate thing, right? It's not politics. It's not our work. You know, it's a completely separate institution. It has a different meaning. It has a different goal that is completely different. And... it's interesting here, you know, God's response here to make this prophecy. And so we get to see how this thing unfolds. We definitely get to see it in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Let's go back and think a little bit about this question from David. So, boy, Nathan better be a humble prophet, don't you think? Because at the beginning he says, oh, yeah, David, no problem. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. That sounds like a good thing, right? A lot of times we think of good things that we're going to do. Let's go do this project. Or let's go do this thing. And it's like, wow, that just sounds perfect. Let's go do that thing. And then, but we see here, you know, Nathan's like, he says, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. So he's like, yeah, David, go prepare. Go prepare to build a temple for God. And in reality, you know, then when he went back to God, God's like, well, not exactly. I'm not so sure I'm going to have David build my temple. You know, I mean, I think he the statement in here is that David had blood on his hands and that David wasn't the one that was going to build the temple. So Nathan was actually, I mean, incorrect here, but Nathan, it didn't bother him. I mean, he clearly had a humble heart and he was willing to come back again and then to put in here one of the greatest prophecies in the Old Testament and lay it down. The other thing that's interesting, I think, as we go through here, and it came to pass that night, the Lord kind of goes through this like, you know, hey, I really don't need a temple. I mean, he's really saying, I really don't. I mean, he's almost saying, for all of us that think that every person, I don't know, if we take like our Constitution for the United States, you know, that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we think that all of us are equal, you know, this is a great statement from God. I mean, he's almost saying, he's saying, look, you know, I stay in a tent just like all of you do. Every Israelite. And he's kind of saying, I'm open and I'm available to every Israelite. It's not just that you have to go to a big, perfect building to get a hold of me. I mean, God is kind of saying here, he's like, you know, I'm available to everybody. And he says, I've walked with all the children of Israel. And then, you know, he starts to build it up here and he goes back to David that, you know, David, what's different for you? I mean, he kind of says to David, what's different when you were in the sheep coat? You know, even then, he's saying, I was with you even when you were there, not necessarily because you're in a house of cedar now. And he says, even through all this time, I've done all these great things. You know, I've cut off all your enemies and I don't have a house. So, I mean, it's just an interesting thought. It's also interesting to understand David's heart. I mean, think of David's heart. I think about myself. It seems like sometimes when we're heads down and we're working, we can get a lot of stuff done when we have an agenda and we're just and we feel good and we're getting lots of stuff done. Sometimes on vacation, that can be sometimes the worst time for me if I don't have a plan for what I'm going to do. But literally, I mean, I think sometimes that's the laziest time I can be is on vacation. But here David is, he's kind of at this moment where his enemies are gone, a lot of stuff's built up, the kingdom's together, he's healed the civil war, they had a civil war. You know, if you think about it, right, they had, just terrible stuff that they went through. And so David's just kind of at this peaceful moment. And what is he thinking? David's heart is towards God. I mean, that's what he's thinking. He's thinking about what is God doing in the country around me? What's going on? You know, I'm staying in this great house, relaxing. God, where are you at? I mean, can I do something for you? It's interesting. I mean, it is kind of hard to do things for God, right? He says here, I want to do something for you. And God says, maybe. Okay, we're going to do this, but someone else is going to build it instead of you. And so anyway, just a really neat prophecy. Then let's go into the prayer of David here to end this up. I mean, usually these are just fantastic. I don't particularly remember this one, but then went King David in and he sat before the Lord and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, that thou hast spoken also of my servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the matter of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Therefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning this house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, that thou art God. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless this house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. I mean, for any of you who have kids, you have friends, you have people that you worry about, and you think about the future, I mean, think about that. David was just given the kind of a big virtual hug from God here. Like, hey, your line and your family, it's going to be okay. You're going to live on forever. And the line of kingdom, the kingdom of God is going to exist down in your family. I mean, and David has a gracious prayer here. I mean, he returns back in humbleness of spirit. And he says, you know, thou knowest my servant. Lord, you know me better than I know myself. And he returns that back to God. And he says, you know, he's basically saying that, Lord, I know I have my ways and the things I want to do, but yours are so much better. I'm going to go to you, Lord. And it's also good for us to know that Israel's still around. I mean, when we look at Israel as a country and as a people, I mean, it's pretty amazing to know that what was it, just in the 40s, right, when a country was remade. I mean, it was a miracle to have a country remade after a war. And so we see that this prophecy is working itself out. You know, the future of Israel and seeing it is a miracle in and to itself. I think it also says in the Old Testament that Judah will be as a kind of like a young lion in the end times. You know, very capable as a young lion, but still a young lion, not a big lion that is a superpower or a nation that controls a lot of things, but just a young lion in his area. I mean, if you look at the Middle East, and Israel is certainly a power in the Middle East, but when you take them on a worldwide scale, they certainly are not. But it also shows, because we know this is 2 Samuel, it also shows that the people of Israel can live even without a country. And we know of the other great prophecies that have come, right? So we could go to another great prophecy here, right, where the prophecy was given of the exact number of years that they would stay in captivity, and then the exact number of years until Jesus was going to come. So that also exists if we go into Daniel, right? So when they were in captivity, I mean, it's one of the greatest prophecies where it lays out the exact number of years, and it goes back to the 7 years, right? So the Israelites were given, they were said that the first 6 years you would work, and then the seventh year would be like a jubilee. And so then there was a master jubilee at 49 years. You know, you would, all your debts would be canceled and put back away. And in some ways, it's kind of socialistic, if you want to take it that way. It's like socialism, right? They broke up all the land. Each family had a land. And then that land could never be taken from their family because it would all go back. So at 7 years, the debts on the land. And then at 49 years, the land itself would go back. And so they had this system, right? But, you know, one of the things in the jubilee, which is tough, is like, well, you know, in the seventh year, I'm not going to farm the land. I'm not going to use the land. I mean, that's kind of hard. I mean, how many of our farmers would do that nowadays, right? Maybe they would if they'd have known the price of corn this year. but how many of our farmers say, oh, you know what, I'll just take a whole seventh year off. So the Israelites, they skipped that, right? So they skipped that for 490 years. They said, ah, we're modern. We've got big cities now. We're doing well. We don't need to do the jubilee. I mean, we can use the land in the seventh year. And so every year that they skipped a jubilee was a year that they spent in captivity. And it's just laid out in prophetic form. It's perfectly laid out. And then it was also laid out how many years after that Jesus will come. And lo and behold, all those things happened exactly according to the prophecies that we have in this book. So I think the takeaway you have to take from Nathan's prophecy, and it's the takeaway that each of us has to make in our own heart: do you believe this prophecy? Because if you believe this prophecy, it's going to impact how you believe what you believe about God. Because God's making a covenant with you the same that He's making a covenant with Israel. The same covenants that are in here. We have to believe and know that God's covenant to us is true and real. So when God comes to you and He says, you know, hey, if you believe on me, you share your testimony, you become baptized, that you're going to live with me forever in heaven. I mean, is that, do you believe? I mean, that's just as big a prophecy as this one. This one concerns a nation and things that we can kind of track. But the prophecies, most of them in here, are about you yourself. I mean, do you believe? I mean, it says that there are mansions in heaven, the streets are paved with gold. I mean, just the one for me about living forever, that's a hard one for me. I mean, it's hard to think of living. I mean, 200 years would be, I think, hard to live. But maybe it's because we're in the paradigm that we're in. But do you believe these prophecies? And this one is a little easier to believe. But do you believe His prophecy for you? Do you believe what He's got planned for you in your life? Because if you believe that, you're kind of unlocking that relationship that Christ has and that He's calling us to have with Him. Kind of like Joe preached this morning. There's a lot of personal decisions that we have to make. And our belief is one of the biggest of those. Let's sing a song. How about... can we do this one, 351, when we all get to heaven? Morgan? Hopefully. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, when we get to come together, when we get to serve you, when we get to worship you together and to be in your midst, Lord, what a joy it is just to be here at church today, to know that there are like-minded people that also know you and have a relationship with you that we can gather together with a place of safety, a place of comfort, a place of joy, a place where we can share our tears, our hardships, and our successes. Lord, we just thank you for this church. We ask your blessing upon it, that you will continue to bless us, Lord, that you will give us faith, that you will give us hope, and that you will give us joy together. We just pray, Lord, that you could be with all those that are sick and needy today. We pray, Lord, that you could help us to understand more your scripture. That you could help us to divide the pages and understand the truth and the value therein. And that you could help us to apply these things into our lives and our attitudes and our mindsets, Lord, that we could be transformed to be closer and have a closer walk with you, Lord. We sit here in astonishment at what you have promised us. We sit here in astonishment that you sent your only Son to die on the cross for us who are unworthy of your love, Lord. And yet we thank you. We just love your love. It is so amazing what you have done for us to bring us up out of the miry clay and to give us a name and a hope for the future, Lord. We just thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've opened to St. Luke chapter 17, teachings on forgiveness and faith. I'm just thinking of this topic, though, as we start here, just still thinking about the Old Testament a little bit in terms of prophecy. It says in when we look through the gifts of the Spirit, you know, that there we have prophets in our own church. We have prophets as a gift, one of the gifts. And so I wonder sometimes, I mean, it's a human temptation, but what are the prophecies? What do you think is going to happen to your family? What do you think is going to happen to you in 10 years, in 15 years? I don't know, sometimes it's just it's a good exercise to just sit and think, what does the future hold for you? And sometimes that can be dangerous because you get a hold of something in the future that you want, and you can very easily steer towards something that you want. But do we have a sense that the Lord has us taken care of in the future? I mean, it could be so hard to look at the things now. We look at sometimes things look impossible. Sometimes the near term things that you're working on look impossible. The goals look too big. Our strength looks too small. But I know this. I know that if we trust in the Lord, I know that if we seek him in prayer, and I know that if we put all of this angst and just trouble that we have being in the world, and we put that on his shoulders, then I don't worry about the future. And I think about the prophecy, and I can say this. I can say, hey, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 or 15 years. But I could be prophetic enough to say, but I know I'll be following him. And sometimes that's good enough for me. And sometimes you just have to think about it like, well, you know, I might be richer, I might be poorer. I might be smarter, I might be a lot less smart. Things might be different in the future, but I know this. I know that I'll be following him. And I know that he's promised us. And this is where the prophetic part comes in, right? Because if we believe in his prophecies, then we know some of the future of our own prophecies, right? Because I know that eternity, something I don't even understand, he's given unto us. And so then I started to think about my life, and I started to think, it's short. It's really short. I mean, even it says is the flowers and the grass wither away. I mean, it says our lifespan is short. So whatever I'm prophesying for 10 to 15 years really doesn't mean a lot when you look at eternity and what that means to you. And that's an exciting, exciting thing. If you can bank on His promise, if you can believe in His promise, it really opens up your life. It opens up a lot of things. It opens you up to taking more risks. It opens you up to trusting people that can hurt you. It opens you up to relationships and things that you never thought would happen. It opens you up to His blessings and His joys. And sometimes they don't always hit in the bank account. Sometimes they don't always hit exactly where you expect them and want them. But it's good that the Lord has built these large prophecies that we can build into to know where we're going to be in 10 or 15 years, to know where we're going to be in 100 years, 200 years, our family, our friends, our enemies. All right, let's read in St. Luke chapter 17. And maybe we'll just read just maybe 10 verses here, a little short. Then said he unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." Actually, Joe, you might have just read this morning, didn't you? "It is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, then seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Boy, there must have been something to be sitting there like, Jesus is there. You're like, hey, Jesus, increase our faith. Come on, teach us. Right in front of him. And then imagine he was here. He said, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the thing that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all these things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. And so, maybe we'll start with we'll just take the first half of this, and we're running out of time quickly. So the first thing I think is great. I mean, we're all human, so it is impossible but that offenses will come. So we have to expect that there's going to be troubles and there's going to be disagreements and things like that. They're going to come. So how are we going to deal with them, and how are we going to move on past through these things? And there's another verse that says it's better to give than to receive. Now, is that a verse in the Bible or is that just a saying? I'm not sure. Ron knows. Yeah. Oh, Ron says. Ron's giving me the A. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just checking. I mean, I think we have to even get to the point where, it can be even joyful for us to give unto others. And it's probably a good place to be in life, to just have a joy that you can give, even when it doesn't suit you or when it isn't in your favor. And then we get into the faith. I mean, Jesus said a lot of things like this, the grain of a mustard seed. And he made a lot of visual things, right, where, the mountains could be moved. And here he's just saying that you could take the sycamore tree, a deeply rooted tree, and you could just replant it in the ocean or the sea. and that it would obey you. And I think what Jesus is doing is he's trying to open our mind to think a little bigger. I mean, I know all of us are creatures of habit to some extent, and so we tend to think about things. We tend to think about things that are always going to continue in the path that they currently are on. And I know this in the field of finance. When I worked in finance, I was working with a pacemaker company. They made pacemakers and defibrillators, and it's interesting. Whatever the forecast was that quarter, oh, that's the forecast that's going to be forever. You know, they would take that the last month or the last 6 months, and they project it out, and it's like, oh, we're doing really well. You know, we need to build more buildings. We need to hire more people. You know, and they just project it out. And if things are bad, then they just project it out. Oh, you know, we're going to have to bring, you know, the forecast is going to continue. We tend to think that way. We tend to look at our and make projections on our life, and we don't plan for, you know, hey, it's bad now, but it will get better in the future, in a forecast. And not just about things about money. Money's just an easy example to talk about. So, because everybody understands money when you talk about it. But, you may say, hey, I've got a bad relationship with my sister or my brother or my uncle. And we tend to, you know, you can go to family events. You'd be like, you know what, I predict that it's going to be the same as it was last time. But what we have to understand is that the Lord is saying here that we can have faith in things that don't necessarily seem like a direct correlation to what's happening around us. That we can have our faith has such a bigger end to it. There's so much more that we can expect out of life. There's so much more that we can have hope towards than what is just right in front of us. And sometimes that means we just have to open up. I mean, sometimes it just means we just have to open up and let go of some things. Sometimes we're just gripping and holding on to something really hard. And sometimes we have to let go of those things to let His faith work in us. But all in all, I just, in closing here, I mean, I just go back to the story of David, the story of prophecy. And I just look at that relationship with David, and I just encourage all of us. I mean, all of us can have a close relationship, a close walk with Christ. He's calling out to us. He's extending out to us. We just have to seek Him. We have to seek Him more than we do sometimes. I mean, David, you know, it says that David's heart, he had such a great heart for God. He had such a great heart for things. And he made a lot of mistakes. We know that. Just like you and I make a lot of mistakes. But he was seeking the things of the Lord with his heart. And when we do that, amazing things will happen.
That's a good word. I mean, you think about the double stars, and I'm real curious. I'm going to look in this Bible afterwards and find my double stars in here, all those prophetic things. You know, turn to Isaiah and let's find those double stars popping out. But, you know, and God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I mean, it is an everlasting kingdom. And what a great prophecy. You think about that. And, you know, if God's kingdom's everlasting, it's going on today, and we want to advance God's kingdom. You know, then you talk about forgiveness. Again, what a great message. You know, we tend not to be people that keep forgiving. You know, I was thinking of last night, because we had an exciting night last night. We went out to the creek, and the beavers had built a dam across the creek. And it was awesome to see that creek a foot higher upstream than downstream. You think? And so I told Brielle, I said, don't break the creek down. I mean, don't break the dam down. You know, you make the leaves, you have a stack of leaves. You can do that, but don't break the dam down. She started pulling it down. I said, don't do that. You know, and I was getting kind of irritated, a little bit irritated with her because she was not following my directions. I did, you know, about one time, and that's it for me, you know. I mean, how about you? Seven times seven, and, you know, 7 times 70. And, you know, you think God's respecting that and forgiveness. And I think, thank you, Lord, for that reminder. You know, what a great reminder. And then you think of faith as a grain of mustard seed. And that describes maybe many of our faiths. And, you know, and we think about that. And we think, you know, God desires for us to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. He's called us to be fruitful. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall be my disciple. So we want to be that way. And yet, you think, can God use us? Yes, God can use us, even with our mustard size faith. And that's a good word. Even if it overlapped with Joe's message this morning. I mean, you know, listen, hey, we could open up 17 again next week and still be treasures there, wouldn't it? I mean, it's just, you know, and we're thankful for that. So, good word today. This morning, this afternoon, and let's sing hymn together.
We would now yet look to a brother to lead us in a closing prayer, please. Father God, we're so thankful that we can come before you once again on this day. It's good to be reminded. It's good to learn. It's always good to be with those who love you, who put their trust and faith in you, Father. We know that in this life, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to spend our efforts in things that may not necessarily bring glory to you. So we just pray that we would endeavor to do better, Father. We're just so thankful for Jesus that eternity awaits, Father. We just pray that we would always know that this was work that you did for us, that by faith that we can take hold on that. We just pray that as we go forth, we would keep these things in our hearts and our minds, Father, that all that we would do could please you, could bring honor and glory to your name. So just continue to be with us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.